You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1. Registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, or 2. Solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor. Integrated Partners and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
Hi, WTCM News Talk 580. It's Thursday, time for New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design. Now, just entering the studio.
Good morning.
Late, we have a demerit for Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here. Thank you. Thank you, Ron.
Whoa. Well, we had a little bit of a snafu here this morning on the way here, but all's well.
All right.
And no accidents except on the sound system there.
Got it. A little coffee spill. We're good. All right. We're all in the studio. Dennis Prout is here along with Heidi Cartwright from Prout Financial Design, Beth Shire, all gathered together to talk about your retirement.
You bet. You bet. It's great to be here. Thanks, Ron, for covering for me there so well. Well, if you do have a question of a financial nature, please call or text us, if you would, at
231 area code 947-0023, 947-0023. Text there or call there.
So the name of today, the name of today's show,
the name.
Inflation or unemployment, which is it going to be? Which is it going to be? And so the key component of that is an article that we have from
Capital Group.
From Capital Group, thank you. And they had a great piece of information here in regards to why they think that inflation is really not a concern that they ought to be, that they're thinking, that the Fed is thinking about, that it's going to be more related to unemployment. And this is a great article from Tom Hollenberg, Jared Franz, and Charles Elwine, and Jody Johnson. It took four of them to write this. Imagine.
Must be good.
Going forward, I do think the labor market is going to get more of the Fed's attention than inflation, as I just mentioned, says Tom. He is a fixed income manager or bond manager there at American Funds. I think the Fed is basically expressing the view that tariff-related inflation is a one-off. It's, in essence, not an issue. And that clears the ground for a rate cut now as well as additional cuts later this year. Now, the dates of the Fed's meetings are October 28 and 29 and December 9 and 10. And it's thought by the betting markets, if you will, that the Fed has about a 70 to 75% chance of cutting the rate another quarter point in both of those meetings. If that's the case, obviously that means a half a point total. Now, some on the Fed are saying that they don't think that's going to be the case. As always, it's open to discussion. But it would appear with today's situation that may well be the case. Now, today, he says, I thought that was an interesting year, interesting point. GDP, the third and final estimate for the second quarter, finally for the second quarter, is coming out today.
3.8%.
3.8% from April through June.
So I think that was up from 3.3.
And a dramatic upgrade of its previous estimate of second quarter growth. So it would appear that the economy is doing better than they initially estimated for the first two times.
Well, Dennis, when we talk about the Fed, what I always like to cast my mind back to is during 2022, when they told us they would never cut the rate more than 25 basis points, or raise the rate more than 25 basis points, and then like the next week it went up 75 basis points. So when we listen to the Fed, I always have I'm a little bit skeptical that they actually will do what they say, but we like to look at what they say is coming, but we always have to remember they could do something totally different.
Always they could do something totally different. And doesn't that just make it interesting for all of us who are trying to deign what's going on out there?
It keeps it exciting.
Miss Skeptismo.
Yeah.
Yes. Skeptismo. My new name.
Interesting quote here from France. In my view, the U.S. economy is entering a mini-cycle slowdown. Hiring may stall across multiple sectors, but not enough for the unemployment rate to rise to levels commonly associated with a recession. Now, that inflation number is very interesting indeed. There is still a lot of growth in this economy, and mostly fueled at this point by the amount of investment in AI and other countries placing monies within these good old United States, indirectly and directly, power generation, AI data centers. They're probably going to be overbuilt. Thank you very much. And the amount of trade that's happening is just, these are stunning numbers that are happening. Now, given the war against artificial, I'm not sure that artificial intelligence, that moniker, is going to stay with us that long. I kind of smiled as I read it this morning. It's like, artificial intelligence? I don't know about that. What a name. Yeah.
So does unemployment rate go up, or does employment slow based on productivity? Like, in other words, if we can get more done with less, fewer people because of technology, it's almost like a two-bladed sword, it sounds
like. It is,
like.
A double-edged sword.
Double-edged, thank you.
Yes, you bet, Ron. And, that has been a theory that we would start to see that, but also that we would start to see that at the beginning of this year in terms of more hiring because of the demand for additional employees. Now, another part of that's driving, they're saying, unemployment rates down in spite of less hiring is the immigration policy here, amount of immigrants that are no longer allowed into this country. So that is another driver that was specifically tighter U.S. immigration policy has influenced labor markets. Immigration enforcement has reduced the overall number of workers in the economy, contributing to relatively stable unemployment levels this year, even as hiring has drastically slowed. Now this could be especially for those who show up late to work.
Or radio shows.
Or late to the radio show. Yes, he's unemployed. Whatever happened to him, I don't know. Yes, indeed. With Wednesday's rate cut, the U.S. federal funds rate now sits at a range of 4 to 4.25%. Does that mean anything? Yes, it means that rates are declining. Specifically, if you're wanting to borrow money and or you're a saver, you're going to notice that your CD rates are steadily declining, where before you might have gotten 4, for instance. Now you're having to beg for 3.25. They are coming down. We're seeing that directly. Mm-hmm. Rates could further boost U.S. markets. So after a period of tariff-related volatility earlier this year, the S&P 500 index has hit a series of new highs, in and including September. Everyone remembers the song from Neil Diamond?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a good one.
September moon. So September has been up about 4% on the S&P 500. So, I mean, that, not a bad month at all, especially because we're just a little over 3 weeks into the year. Maintaining a balanced portfolio. Now, the final piece of good information, I think, from this article. The ongoing uncertainty around global trade policy, inflation, employment, economic growth, and other market forces. Whew, that's a lot of uncertainty. provides a reminder of why it's important for investors to maintain a diversified, well-balanced portfolio constructed to help it buffer market shocks. So do you have that buffer, if you will, in your portfolio? Are you able to stand the negativity that could occur? Now, negativity never happens, or rather, in the markets, it never happens in a vacuum. The news tends to follow it and or sometimes precede it. Inflation and Fed independence are issues that I am particularly concerned about and watching closely, says Jody Johnson. U.S. valuations, equity valuations are at very high levels right now, so an inflationary shock or a crisis at the Fed would probably not be well received by investors. I think if there was a crisis at the Fed, most people would be very surprised because they're rather slow moving. So a crisis there could happen, but it would seem to me to be unlikely. In spite of the political interjections that seem to be happening here and there. Okay? So inflation or unemployment, the Fed makes its choice. It would appear as though they're not as concerned about inflation. They've somewhat given up on that 2% number and more embracing the 3% number. Now, let's not say embracing too loudly, shall we? I mean, you know.
Somebody writes to us here.
Yes.
At New Retirement Radio, that revised GDP that we mentioned and Jerome Powell's remarks on stocks being expensive, but that's not his problem. How does that weigh in on the next rate cut decision, in your opinion?
That's a great question. In terms of how it's going to weigh in, it might tell us that they are less likely to do that, that they may be less likely to do that. We'll have to see. October 28 and 29, a whole month away. A lot can happen in 4 weeks.
That's the next meeting
yes,
of the Fed?
It is. So, you know, we'll just see what other economic numbers we're seeing, indications of employment, unemployment, any adjustments that are made further to that. We'll just have to see what difference that might make. And, you know, where the betting markets are, we're keeping an eye on that. I mean, everyone is watching this quite closely. That what's interesting is that markets are at an all-time high right now, and what's driven them is this growth that we've been talking about, and they've maintained those highs. These are not just short-term anomalies, if you will. They've been going on for some time here, so these highs have been significant, and they've so far been able to maintain themselves. So we'll see.
It's interesting. There's a graph of the S&P 500 year to date, and pretty steady for the first few months. And then Liberation Day, when President Trump announced tariffs, there's a huge drop off.
Yes.
But when you look at the rest of the year, that huge drop off kind of disappears. You don't really notice it like you did a few months ago. Because what'd you say? It's up. It's up 12.5% roughly year to date.
Yes.
The drop off looks more like a blip now.
Yeah.
Surprise.
It's up significantly from those lows. And what's interesting is that individual investors piled in at that point, where institutions generally did not. And the individuals did much better, which is another really interesting point, that they didn't run away, which they often do when we get those kinds of corrections. So they've tended to stay with it.
Why is that, do you think? Is that just having faith in the economy, having faith in the president's policies, or what do you think?
I don't know that they had faith in the president's policies. I think they had more faith in the economy.
Okay.
And its strength. And they were looking for value. And they found it. They found it big. And for those that were able to stick with it. Now, what's interesting is those that manage money, the word that I'm seeing and reading, if you will, is that they're looking for another opportunity for pullbacks. There are several companies that many money managers are following closely, and they're hoping for a pullback so that they can buy. Mm-hmm. So they see significant opportunity still in the markets and in any kind of discount that they might get in current prices. So that, I think, is a good sign. We'll see. There always can be negativity and or other issues that occur. We can't cover them all here, but it's very interesting to see the importance of diversification, understanding that a lot of these companies that are not growth-orientated have not participated near to the degree of these AI firms. Given that reality, there's still some relatively conservative values out there. I was showing Heidi and Beth here this morning on some of those conservative ratios. So it's compelling to diversification and the importance of being able to stick with the program. So what did the impact of a government shutdown might mean for stocks? Heidi's got some great stats on this. Hit it, Heidi, please.
All right. So this is an article that comes to us from Kiplinger by Dan Burrows. And this is something that we're hearing about in the news every day, right? So the federal government shutdowns aren't bad for stocks, at least historically speaking. Although the market hates the threat of a federal government shutdown, an outcome that looks increasingly possible, the S&P 500's performance during past shutdowns has been pretty good. If our latest brush with a government shutdown seems particularly irksome? Mm-hmm. Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It may be because markets are trading at record levels and rich valuations, just as Dennis was talking about, despite the effects of tariffs, sticky inflation, and a soft labor market. No one wants dysfunction in Washington to mess with the success that the market is having right now. After all, September is historically the worst month for stocks, and yet the market didn't get the memo this year. The S&P 500 was up more than 3% through the first 3 weeks of the month, continuing its remarkable 33% rally off the April low. So that's part of that graph we were talking about in the first segment, is the market has been going up since that low in April.
Yeah, significantly, you bet.
So the Federal Reserve's rate cut and forecasts for additional reductions later this year and in 2026 are boosting the bull market as its optimism over the upcoming earnings season. So there have been 22 government shutdowns since 1976, but only on four occasions were operations affected for more than one business day.
Okay, one moment. Ron, did you realize that there were 22 shutdowns?
I did not know that.
I was surprised at that number as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the part where only four lasted more than one day. That leaves us with only four true shutdowns. The last one occurring late 2018 into early 2019. It's tough to remember now, but the S&P 500 returned 10.3% during the 35-day shutdown of 2018 and 2019. So stocks also did fine during the extended shutdown of October 2013. In 2013, the government was shut down for 16 days during the first part of October. The S&P 500 had some down days, but overall, the equity market took all the political drama in stride with a 3.1% advance during those 16 days.
Does anybody remember that happening in 2013?
No.
Yeah. Me neither.
Nope.
Didn't seem to have a whole lot of impact on us here in northern Michigan, did it?
What happens if we close it down longer? Will stocks go up even more?
You're like, wait a minute. So past government shutdowns, the S&P 500 rose 55% of the time, generating an average return of 0.3%, according to the data from the Carson Group.
It was a party in the stock market when the government shutdown is what it sounds like.
Even better, 12 months after the end of the shutdown, the S&P 500 was higher 86% of the time, with an average return of 12.7%. Those are some nice, healthy numbers, Dennis.
I'm just thinking of that old Dick Van Dyke song, which I had already brought up with these guys. The Fidelity Fiduciary Bank. You know, it pays to save. It's all we can say. It's even Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah. And, what is that from?
That,
that's
Fidelity,
from Mary Poppins. Yeah.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
Mary.
So the good news is history says shutdowns have little or no effect on stock. Most shutdowns last only a few days, so just enough to get in the headlines, and then it's over just as quickly. While past performance is no guarantee of future results, the record for stocks in government shutdowns is almost encouraging, they say. And they end with, when the last federal government shutdown ended in 2019, the S&P 500 went on to return over almost 24% over the next 12 months. There are probably plenty of market participants who would take that deal again. Not that it will happen.
Right. Yes. Yes.
I just added that.
Just covering for compliance. Thank you. Did we have a question?
Well, someone said they're more concerned about the state of Michigan government shutdown, which is also a threat at the end of the month. They say, if state park campgrounds are closed, we have camping reservations for Harvest Festival in the state park October 2 through 4.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
so that's a legitimate concern there.
Yes, it is.
It is.
That would be sad to have.
Let's hope they are able to work that through.
Yes,
too many
see.
Good things that can be going on outdoors these days.
So I have a follow-up article, Dennis.
Yes.
So this is an article that comes to us from the Wall Street Journal, and this impacts people who are over age 50 who take the catch-up contributions in their employer plan, like the 401k or the 403b.
In essence, they're putting in over, what, $25,000 or so in their 401k plan. So for those who are putting in significant amounts in their 401ks and do what's called a catch-up contribution, not to be confused with your hot dog there.
Never put ketchup on a hot dog. Colleen will tell you that.
Really?
Oh.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Just
nope.
Mustard? That's the Chicago style?
Yep.
No ketchup.
No ketchup.
Do they put celery salt?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And pickles, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
So the ketchup contribution, is the regular contribution, $23,500 for 2025, plus another $7,500. So that $7,500 amount, if one were to put in that full amount, would have some issues different in 26, Heidi.
Right. So this is who will be affected. It's a perk for being over 50, being able to put in a little extra into your plan. But starting next year, the extra catch-up contributions for those over 50, the workers who put money in their 401ks will have to go into their accounts on an after-tax basis instead of a pre-tax basis. Like right now, you can decide when you put in your contribution, do I want to put it in the traditional method where it lowers my income for the year, or do I want to put it in after-tax, or we talk about that as the Roth option, where it doesn't affect your income that you report on your income tax, and it goes into that Roth and earns tax-free from there.
Yeah. So as you draw it from that Roth account, supposedly at retirement, it comes out tax-free. That's the advantage of the Roth option within your 401k or your 403b.
Correct.
This is going to be required of both types of plans, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And this is a law that was passed back in 2022, Secure 2.0, but the final regulations just came out on September 15th of this month. So that is why we're talking about it. It was another one of those things that they pass, and the custodians aren't necessarily ready for those changes, and so it takes a while for people to get everything in order to be able to enact all these new rules.
So the administrators of these plans, in essence, it took them almost 3 years. Is that what you're saying? Was it 2022 that this
2022
was?
2022 law.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so this restriction is only going to go into effect for what they call a high earner. And then the next question would obviously be, what constitutes a high earner? Well, in the IRS view, that's people making over $145,000 a year in wages. This change means many workers will pay taxes on their catch-up money up front during the high earning years instead of deferring that to the potentially lower earning years in retirement. The money would go into the Roth account where it can later be withdrawn tax-free. So an interesting observation is that this is the first time that the tax code is mandating Roth savings, which gives the government its cut of the money up front.
Surprise. They want it now, or at least a part of it now.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, they have an example here. A 60-year-old in the 35% tax bracket could lose nearly a $4,000 deduction for the $11,250 super catch-up that they qualify with the new rules for people 60 through 64. So that could change your tax bill, and you may mm-hmm. notice it or you may feel it. So because this raises adjusted gross income, and it can possibly disqualify people from other tax breaks that they get, like for phase outs at higher income levels, such as deductions for student loans, deductions for state and local taxes. All these things could be affected, and it could push those workers maybe into a higher tax bracket, at least paying higher taxes.
Very interesting.
It's fall.
And I was just thinking about, obviously everybody knows it is, but man, what a season of weather we've had. Hasn't it just been stunning?
Best stretch I can ever remember.
Oh my gosh.
For September.
For whatever reason, thoughts of all those colorful pumpkins and all the rest mm-hmm. came to mind. Just stopping at some of the fruit stands and that sort of thing.
I picked up some pumpkins. I got a orange and white one, which I hadn't seen.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I like it.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so we had a question here, Ron.
Dennis, if we use the guideline for retirement annual account withdrawals of 4%, should we add the advisor's 1% annual fee to make it 5% to leave us with 4%, or subtract it to leave us with 3% to live off of?
Yeah, what I would say is just take 4% of the beginning portion of your portfolio for that year as a general withdrawal option. Now, that comes into also brings up, how your portfolio is invested. If a portion of it is invested for growth and income, if a portion is invested for it to help produce that sort of income, are you set to draw from your portfolio at those rates? And or do you need to draw more, given that you're young and, you may need some more because you're not drawing Social Security, you see? You see, Ron, mm-hmm. these questions could be so simple, but they're really not, are they? No, they're not.
No, but it differs. I mean, obviously, you have a lot of clients. It probably differs.
Yes,
I mean, somebody
that's
doesn't.
Right.
It's not going to be for somebody. 4% every year we take, and that's
yes.
it. It might be, could be none taken out some years or higher some years, right?
You bring a great point, Ron, because, some just want to see it grow.
Yeah.
To let it grow for the next generation. If that's the case, then you'll probably want to invest it differently as well.
And something we do for our clients as they're getting ready for retirement, we prepare an income plan, which tells our clients, this year, before you start drawing Social Security, we're going to take this out. When that clicks in, we're going to lower this. We're going to add more here. So we go through every year and show them how that is going to work and how it works with their portfolio and the draw that's going to come based on when they're retiring, if they have Medicare yet, if they're waiting for Medicare age, all these different things. There's so many different triggers that are going to affect that number of what you need to take out of the portfolio.
That to me is when it gets fun, when you actually get into the planning part of it and you can say, given a relatively normal world, we can't guarantee everything, but, are you going to have enough? And given a spending plan, here's where you're going to be taking it from. Here's what we've got to schedule that. Does this make sense? You know, those kinds of conversations as we go through. So we can help map it out. I know maps are an old-fashioned sort of thing. But at our office, we can still do maps.
Yeah, and every story is very individual. And that's kind of where the fun comes in for you guys. You know,
it
get
really
to
is.
Look, get to meet people, know their goals and different things like that instead of a strategy that works for them. So it's important to talk to somebody that knows what's, you know, how to navigate these waters and set up a strategy for you. So.
Every income plan is unique to that individual or couple.
It sure
is. For each one.
It's going to depend on what other assets are going to come into play as well. I talked to a longtime client this morning, and I said, you know, you basically want to grow this, right, you know, for the next generation. Oh, yeah, that's what I want to do, Dennis. So it was just fun to hear that from him again. All right, Beth.
Yes.
You've got some very interesting stats on Impact 100. Tell us.
Ah. I do, yes. So a group of us ladies from Prout went to the annual Impact 100 dinner on Tuesday night, and it was just great. It was so great to be in a room with all these wonderful women who just kind of come together, network, and have a desire to grow, build the community around them. And there are chapters all over the United States with Impact
100.
Well,
the one in Traverse City, how many are there in this chapter here?
There are 340-something, I believe.
Okay.
I'm not entirely
340
sure.
340-odd, whatever that number is.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and they are looking for 2026 membership. So if you are interested, you can go on their website and sign up to become a member. It's a really great organization. So so we did go to the annual dinner on Tuesday night, and we were able to hear from five different applicants who are applied for this grant. It's $116,000 grant,
a piece. And there were three grants that we gave out.
There were three awarded, and the winners in no particular order were the Goodwill Northern Michigan's Food Rescue. And they wanted to, they're putting the funds towards is a walk-in cooler. They distribute over 2 million pounds of food annually to individuals in the five county region. So
okay, hang on a second. Food Rescue distributes how many pounds?
2 million pounds of food annually.
Yeah. And that's radical, isn't it?
Yes.
I was in the grocery store the other day looking at meat and cuts of beef and everything.
Sure.
I thought, you know, what are the chances all of this is going to sell, right? How can they predict, well, what they don't sell, they give to Food Rescue, before its expiration
date.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yes. And the gentleman who gave the talk for Food Rescue, he mentioned, like, he'll get calls from farmers and say, hey, I have, 2,000 pounds of apricots. Do you want them? And not having enough cold storage that they can house that and then distribute it to the food banks was preventing them from accepting all these potential donations out there.
Sure. Yes. I wonder if they get calls from individuals who get trying to get rid of their zucchini.
Do you know anyone who's trying to get rid of their zucchini?
This thing grew to football size. I need to get rid of it. All right. Go ahead, Beth,
so
please.
That was great. And then another one of the people that won the grant were the Women's Resource Center, and they are putting these funds towards a transition home. They have one large home, and I can't remember how many individuals they're able to house. I think it was 12. One of the things that the women that utilize this home, they very thankful, very grateful, but said that they would really like kind of a space to be able to step away from everyone and spend time with their children, more family time. So they're using those funds to create studio apartments in this transition home. So these families, these women and children will have a place, a private place to do homework, just kind of reconnect as a family. So that was absolutely fantastic, I think.
Cool. And then, now, hang on a second. Now, the application process, Heidi, is really quite thorough in terms of the finances of these organizations. They're reviewed completely by a group there, correct?
By the Finance Committee,
which I happen to
take part in.
Yes.
So, yes, that's true, Dennis. We get all the – they have training – for all of the charities that want to go for a grant. And they train them on how to fill out all the paperwork and all the submissions. And then it goes through the different committees, the different interest committees, and they then send it to the finance committee, where we review the last 3 to 4 years of financials, make sure it's a sustainable organization, that our money can be well spent, and then it goes back again to the interest committees, and they go and they do site visits, and they actually go and see what these different endeavors want to do, and then we get a finalist from each category, and then we go to the annual dinner. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a process.
Do the applicants have to have, like Beth mentioned, specific projects? They can't just say, we want the money, don't worry, we'll do good stuff with it?
Right. We like to see what do they want to do that's going to take their endeavor to the next level. Mm-hmm. And it's really great, because as the years go by, they invite us back and we get to see. I know one I went to was Inland Seas, and we outfitted a ship to for use, and we were able to go and visit it and see the result of our invested funds. And it makes you feel great that you can do something so big.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Okay, there's one more, is there not?
There is. Yeah. And then the last recipient was Groundwork Center. And what they do is they're using these funds to build a live stream, record, and distribute critical food as medicine education across Northwest Lower Michigan. And what they want to do is to be able to stream, they provide classes
cooking
in healthy
classes,
eating, cooking yeah. classes, how to prepare food, menu, and things like that for the community, for single mothers they do, and addiction treatment services they work with
people
them as
with
well.
People with diabetes, all these things.
Yeah, people that could use a little bit more education in food preparation, healthy eating, and food as medicine. Just what you bring into your body is kind of what you know, how it operates. So being able to offer those classes online, live stream them, and different things like that.
It's been interesting, the number of articles I've seen on what they're finding out about fake foods, if you will, and how they contribute to being overweight, less energy, and more as a part of being overweight. Also, they help generate appetite. So better cooking and better, healthier foods mm-hmm. can all help take care of some of those issues. I think that's great. So it's called the Groundwork Center Teaching Kitchen mm-hmm. Regional Broadcast Hub. What a great idea.
Right.
So there's some really original thinking going behind the scenes mm-hmm. on these proposals.
Yep.
Oh, great. Okay. How much time do we have here?
Members each donate, what, $1,000 per year?
$1,000.
So it's a big
It's a big ask.
340-plus women mm-hmm. all donate $1,000 each.
Yes.
Boom.
Yep.
There's some real gifts going on. I mean, obviously, they're all over 100,000. So they're probably, are they going to try to get to 400 this year? Is that
the
goal?
That's the goal. So
right.
I hope we can get there. And actually, we had Wendy Steele, the founder of Impact 100, on our show way back in 2017 when the chapter first opened here mm-hmm. in Traverse City.
And
that's
the
amazing.
Traverse City chapter has awarded over $2 million.
Hello.
Yeah. So
incredible. I think any charitable organization would be really pleased with those kinds of results mm-hmm. for the last, 8 years then, mm-hmm. since 17. Just incredible. Now, Impact 100 meant 100 women.
Mm-hmm.
So to triple that and possibly quadruple that in the future, yep. I say you ladies go. That is just rock and roll.
Women getting things done.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
We like it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Beth, you've got a couple more stats.
Yes, I do. I have one. I think Ron mentioned it earlier, but for those of you that missed it, the mobile gaming company ARB Interactive, which acquired Publishers Clearing House out of bankruptcy in July, will not be paying its winners. That is insane. Publishers Clearing House owes an estimated $26 million in prizes to past winners.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's you decided to take so much per year as a prize.
Mm-hmm. Should have taken the lump sum, my friend.
Wow. Take the lump sum.
Ouch. Yeah. There's something to know, to learn about that, eh?
All right, that'll do it. Prout Financial Design New Retirement Radio. Thursdays live on WTCM 10 to 11. Repeat Saturdays at 9. Check out the website, proutfinancialdesign.com.